top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good morning, this is the morning news for today, Thursday, June 8th, 2023. I'm your presenter for this environment in the headlines. The former banker Lewis Robinson advocates for incorporating civics in the school's curriculum, promoting social cohesion and effective communication among peers and in the wider community. Barbados Prime Minister Mia Motley calls for collaboration among local, regional and international stakeholders to develop inventive solutions for the water challenges encountered by the Caribbean region. And judges at a United Nations War Crimes Court concluded on Wednesday that elderly Rwanda genocide suspect Felician Kabuga is unable to face trial, but slimmed-down legal proceedings in his case can continue. Details coming up next.
Of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Former banker Lewis Robinson believes that only a small percentage of people are aware that, as stated in the Constitution, Dominica is a republic. He aggravates over the concern about incorporating civics back into the education system. He offered a solution, pointing out that civics calls for the formation of small groups, imparting fundamental knowledge and intellectuals participating in constitutional debates.
On the issue of the civics, you know, a very, very close friend of mine and I decided that the way we can resolve this problem is to form little cells of 5-6 in each constituency and teach these people basic civics. Start from the scratch, and then you bring in people like lawyers or past parliamentarians to talk to them about this whole thing, the civics, including the constitution, what their responsibilities are.
He believes this approach will not only enhance knowledge, but will also promote social cohesion and collaboration. Robinson is of the view that disseminating information among peers will also help to ensure that the information is communicated effectively and accurately.
And then you maybe bring three groups together at one time, then you bring nudge, and then maybe you bring all of them together, talk to their peers in terms of, okay, this is our civic duty, this is what we're supposed to know. We're supposed to know who's the minister. We used to know every minister of government, every permanent secretary. We used to know who they were.
And that was former banker Lewis Robinson. President of the Dominica Herbal Business Association, Mrs. Judy Dublin Dangaben, says when it comes to healthy eating, people often overlook the impact on their skin. Therefore, it is essential to use skincare products that are free from harmful chemicals and contain natural ingredients that nourishes and protects the skin. She highlights how crucial it is to consider the ingredients used in skincare to maintain a healthy lifestyle. She also emphasizes the importance of consuming a balanced diet, rich in vitamins and minerals that promote healthy skin.
When we think of health, we tend to just focus on what we ingest. But we have to remember our skin as well is a living, breathing organ. It's tissues and blood vessels all wrapped up under there. And whatever we put on our skin can get into our bloodstream really easily, sometimes even faster than when we ingest food. So it's really important that we look at what we use for our, you know, everybody wants to look nice and pretty, especially as women who use makeup, who use creams. And sometimes we might read the labels of what we eat and we might totally forget to watch the back, the ingredient list of our creams and so on.
Mrs. Dangleben believes that adopting a holistic approach to skincare we can achieve glowing, radiant skin while also improving our overall health and well-being. She encourages everyone to take time to research the ingredients used in their skincare products and make informed choices that benefit both themselves and the environment. Ultimately, Mrs. Dangleburn's message is clear. Healthy eating is not just about what we put in our bodies, but it is also what we put on it.
If we want to really be healthy, we have to look at what we use on our skin and look for options that are organic. So they would be labeled, obviously, on the bottles. Look for organic cosmetics. Look for cruelty-free. So these key terms, green, eco-beauty, natural. You might see cruelty-free when they don't test on animals. Or you might see eco-cert ingredients where all the ingredients in the product are eco-certified, meaning that they're organic and natural. So I think we should start reading our labels and being more aware of what we use on our skin and our hair.
Jody Dublin-Dangben, president of the Dominica Herbal Business Association. For the second year, Sagicor's Helping Hands program, which falls under its corporate social responsibility program, is inviting community groups, charities, and other non-governmental organizations to collaborate with their regional financial services organization. Participants are required to register to be part of this opportunity. Sagicor Helping Hands is currently accepting nominations for their program, specifically for the pillars of education, health, community, youth development, and sports. Selected charities and their projects will receive a combination of material and non-material assistance. One can also make nominations for the organization's social media platforms. The nomination video showcasing Sagicor team members from different parts of the region can also be viewed there. The program, which began in 2022, received more than 250 nominations and emphasized the significance of being inclusive. As part of this effort, the program partnered with the Deaf Hat Program in Barbados to address NCDs, disease prevention. Furthermore, Lake Health and Wellbeing St. Kitts and Nevis was involved in this program. Several life centers in Trinidad and Tobago have also been honed in on education. Each charity has also been given essential equipment to enhance their efforts and promote their objectives. During a press conference that took place on Wednesday afternoon at the premises of the Discover Dominica Authority, Michael Walters, Business Development Officer in the Small Business Support Unit, provided details on the forthcoming Health and Wellness Small Business Trade Show. The event is slated to take place at the Windsor Park Sports Stadium on Friday, June 9th, 2023.
So we appeal to members from the
public. We will officially start the event with an opening ceremony, and that will be held under the Clem John stand at the stadium. The exhibition, the trade show, will be held in the forecourt, all right, and it will be organized in a village setting. The trade show will be available to the public, will be open to the public from 10 a.m. on Friday, the 9th, and on Saturday the 10th, it will be open from 9 a.m. to the public.
Walters encouraged individuals to join the event and rally behind the numerous small business owners who will be exhibiting their merchandise and services on Friday.
So we appeal to members from the public to come out, and your favorite small business persons, you understand, like Royal Torch for your massage, all right, she will be there, you understand, so come out and support her. Your tasty cassava bread, all right, come out and support Mr. Cassava Man at this event. You're looking for your plants, which bring that therapeutic type of feeling, you understand? Miss Plantscape, all right? She has those plants. So come out and support them, all right? Healthy eating such as CMOS, All right, you have the master of CMOS over there, Miss Kama, with Hey Mama. All right, so come out and support those businesses along with so many others. We are looking at 100 businesses. All right, so come out and support.
And that was Michael Walters, Business Development Officer in the Small Business Support Unit. Host of Q95's Global View on Q, Sheridan Gregoire, highlights the cost and the uncertain timeline and the construction cost of the proposed international airport project. He suggested while the Lai River Hotel experience may be comparable to the proposed new international airport project, the lack of experience of the chosen airport developer raises concerns. Gregoire also suggested that there might be issues with funding and environmental impact for the airport project.
And then you cannot tell me that you are building an international airport. You're not even sure how much it is, because at one point it was 1 billion, then I hear 1.3. I imagine the next time we hear it might be 1.6 billion. And it cannot be that you're saying that this gentleman who has absolutely no experience in developing airports is going to raise all that money by selling passports. And then we have the experience of the Lai River Hotel. You have millions of dollars were raised and there is no hotel. What happened to that money? Is that the same kind of thing we're going to have for this airport project? What's going to happen if this man goes out there and they spend 300 million and they raise 1.5 billion? How do we punish and make them bring back the money?
He noted the possibility that the Chinese contractor may have to possibly be backed up with financing by the Chinese government in the financial analysis should the developers fail to raise the necessary funds from passport sales for the construction of the international airport. Even though the DLP regime promised the Dominican people that a project that would be entirely funded by the passport sales, he opines that if the Chinese take over the financing of the project, Dominicans may become responsible for paying back any loan involved.
But the point is that another kind of experience that we're going to have in this case of that international airport? And then, of course, we're hearing now a little sips, you know, the Chinese have been contracted to build the airport. And it's a good thing because that Chinese company is backed up by the Chinese government. So in case there is some default, they will be able to come in and fund. But isn't that what weren't Dominicans told that that airport is going to be funded completely on passport money, and that it costs Dominica absolutely nothing? If the Chinese come in and have to then take over because there's default, then Dominicans are going to have to pay back the Chinese that loan. There is so much inconsistency, is not funny.
And that was host of the Global View on Q, Sheridan Gregoire. At the electoral rally held in Roseau on Wednesday, May 31st, President of the Dominica Freedom Party, Johnson Boston, expressed his solidarity with the citizens of Dominica in their demand for electoral and campaign finance reforms from the DLP regime office and criticized its lack of productivity and initiative. Boston further highlighted the government's apprehensive response towards the scheduling of the rally.
And I approve of this gathering and the effort that we are putting out to call on this government, this lazy government, non-productive government, to give us electoral reform. Brothers and sisters, when they heard we came together to plan this rally and to bring you all, they, brothers and sisters, got malvat. They were afraid. They went to Reno and trying to instigate problems in our country. You want a joke to laugh? I heard the Prime Minister saying on news that when the opposition have meetings, then the hotels cannot get guests. The vendors cannot sell. You are in yourself. The Labour Party is in government for 23 years, and Roosevelt served as Prime Minister for about 19 years. And if the hotels don't have guests and vendors cannot sell, who do you blame? Roosevelt, Skerrick, and the lazy Labour Party. Or we could say his lazy cabinet, brothers and sisters.
Boyce Boston posed that in instances where the Dominican people exhibit a unified front, political entities and their representatives are unable to deceive or manipulate the people.
When Dominicans come together, no party party, no politician can form the fool with Dominicans. When we stand together, we can move mountains. And we are calling on you to stand firmly so that we can achieve electoral reform. We are on this struggle for quite some time, over 13 years. What they have to hide. The reason why they are afraid to give reform is because that there is some cocoa macaque going on in our electoral process. And the only people who can remove that cocoa macaque, not Dennis Byron, not Roosevelt Skerrett, is the people of Dominica. So when we call on you to come out and to show your support to the effort and to demonstrate to the region and the world that we have had enough and we cannot take any more bluff.
Johnson Boston, president of the Dominica Freedom Party. In other news, Prime Minister of Barbados, Mia Mottley, has unveiled a significant effort to aid her country in addressing the long-standing issue of water scarcity. It has been reported that a forthcoming establishment of a water academy is anticipated at the Barbados Community College in order to effectively transform the water usage patterns of Barbadian citizens and provide technical expertise to the industry professionals operating in this domain. Prime Minister Mottley declared this proclamation during inauguration of the two-day Caribbean Water Symposium in the Lloyd Erskine Staniford Center on Wednesday morning. The primary objective of this conference is to increase regional awareness regarding the persistent challenges affecting the water sector in the Caribbean region. The current undertaking aims to expedite efforts towards enhancing water sector resilience in the midst of various perils, notably climate change-induced impacts. She underscored the significance of collaboration amongst local, regional, and international actors in devising novel approaches to addressing the pressing water challenges confronting Barbados and other neighboring islands. I'm sorry, as an AI language mode, in a context provided with the original text. And so she said. And in a ruling issued on Wednesday, judges at the United Nations War Crimes Court concluded that elderly Rwanda genocide suspect Felician Kabuga is unable to face trial, that slimmed down legal processes in his case can continue. The former businessman and radio station owner was one of the last suspects served by the tribunal prosecuting crimes committed in the 1994 genocide, when ruling Hutu majority extremists killed more than 800,000 minority Tutsis and Hutu moderates in 100 days.
Judges at a UN war crimes court have ruled that elderly Rwandan genocide suspect Felician Kabuga is unfit to stand trial. That decision comes after doctors found that the former business tycoon, who was in his late 80s, suffered from dementia. Kabuga was arrested in France in 2020 after more than two decades on the run. Prosecutors say he promoted hate speech through his broadcaster RTLM and armed ethnic Hutu militias. He has denied charges of genocide and crimes against humanity. Kabuga was one of the last suspects sought by the tribunal prosecuting crimes committed during the 1994 genocide, in which extremists from the ruling Hutu majority killed more than 800,000 minority Tutsis and Hutu moderates in 100 days.
Who would be compelled to follow his orders?
A decision published on the website of the UN's International Residual Mechanism for Criminal Tribunals said Kabuga was no longer capable of meaningful participation in his trial. His lawyers have been trying to get the case against him dropped over health concerns, but judges said that instead of halting the trial, they would find an alternative procedure. It would, quote, resemble a trial as closely as possible, but without the possibility of a conviction. It was not immediately clear what form such proceedings would take or what will happen to Kabuga, who is in the court's detention center in The Hague. It's rare for suspects before international courts to be declared mentally unfit to stand trial, though many defendants try.
That's the morning news, and here's a recap of the headlines. Former banker Lewis Robinson advocates for incorporating civics in the school's curriculum, promoting social cohesion and effective communication among peers and in the wider community.
Regional and global.
Barbados Prime Minister Mia Mottley calls for collaboration among local, regional and international stakeholders to develop incentive solutions for the water challenges encountered by the Caribbean region. And judges at a United Nations war crimes court concluded on Wednesday that elderly Rwanda genocide suspect Felician Kabuga is unable to face trials, but slim down legal proceedings in his case can continue. I've been your presenter for this environment.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big